explanation, and I realized this last year when I was giving away a couple books, and I said, this is an advanced reader copy. And I realized that I hadn't really explained what an advanced reader copy was, and someone, I think, asked, well, what makes it advanced? So here's the deal. Publishers, before they publish a book, will send out like a final draft. They'll send it to their authors, and their authors, or people who review books, we'll read through them and like start talking about them. So I have a bunch of advanced reader copies. That means they're not final copies, but it's as close to the final thing as you can get. Trish and I get these when we go to different conferences and Nerd Camp. Little plug for Nerd Camp. So if you get an advanced reader copy, it's the same book, just it's like a final draft before the last one comes out. Make sense? All right. Here we go. Let's do this. I'm going to start with some books that have come out in the past year, and they're new since last year. I threw some funnies in here again this year. This is the proper way to read a Choose Your Own Adventure book with your fingers and all the different options. All right. The Wild Robot Escapes. Roz is back and better than ever. On this one, Roz has now ended up on a farm. And Brightbill is gone. I'm sorry, if you have not read The Wild Robot, you need to read The Wild Robot as well, because it's amazing. So Roz is on a farm, and she doesn't like it there. We're not quite sure at the beginning of the book if Roz is still in there or if she's not. She is definitely still in there, and she starts communicating with the farm animals, and Brightbill eventually does show up, and they make a plan to escape from the farm. And so the whole book is filled with trying to get away from the robots who have come to rescue her or have come to take her back. And I'm telling you, the ending, there is a moment where you hold your breath and you almost say a little prayer for Roz, because is she still going to be Roz? It's a beautiful book. If you haven't read the first one, read the second one as well. Read the first one first, though. Sorry. This is why I've got these all first, to get some of those jitters out of the way. Beatrice Zinker, Upside Down Thinker by Shelley Johannes. This is the second book in the series. This one is called Incognito. Once again, Beatrice is back, and her teacher still does not understand her. Her teacher tries to do all sorts of things to take that upside downness out of her. But Beatrice is still determined to complete her Operation Upside in awarding the most creative gifts to people. And at one point, she actually gifts her teacher a certificate that says that she is the most, I believe it's the strictest teacher award. Not a good idea, because that just sets her teacher even more on edge with her. It's a beautiful book. Shelley Johannes is an amazing person. So Beatrice is my new favorite character. She is like a new Ramona. So if you loved Ramona, you're going to love Beatrice. Another one of my favorite characters, I use the word favorite a lot. It changes like by the minute. So 2 minutes ago may have been Beatrice. Bat and the Waiting Game. This is the follow-up to A Boy Called Bat. Bat is on, Bat has Asperger's, and his mom is a veterinarian and comes home with a baby skunk one day. Well, this is the follow-up to this book. Mom let Bat keep the skunk. And so now the skunk is starting to grow up a little bit. The skunk is getting a little older. We're not quite sure how long Thor, the skunk, will get to stay with Bat. But for now, Bat is still being allowed to raise Thor. In this book, we start seeing his older sister, Janie, make new friends, and she is not around as much. Bat is finally starting to navigate his first real friendship. It's just another beautiful story. At the end of the book, I'm just so excited for the... I'm excited and not excited for the last Bat book to come out in March. I think Bat is finally going to have to be given away, and I'm terrified for Bat, because Bat and Thor are just a great combination, and this is just the sweetest book. Again, Bat, The Boy Called Bat is first, Bat and the Waiting Game is second. Real quick as well, Baby Mouse, Tales from the Locker. Baby Mouse now has a cell phone. So, you know, gotta watch out for those cell phones when Baby Mouse gets a hold of it. Again, although it is set in middle school, it's very accessible for 4th and 5th graders. So if you have those Baby Mouse graphic novel fans, they will love Baby Mouse as a chapter book. In this one, we learn all about texting. Baby Mouse tries to text. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't, because it's Baby Mouse. And very appropriate third, fourth, fifth grade. Just take that step from the graphic novel, and if they're ready for it, great option. Another new book that has come out in a series is Grump by Liesl Shurtleff. This is a continuation. We had Rump, the true story of Rumpelstiltskin. We have Jack, the true story of Jack and the Beanstalk. We had Red, the true story of Little Red Riding Hood. And now we get Grump, the fairly true story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Again, just a fabulous series. I have to make a confession. Don't tell anyone. But I have several teachers who read it, several students who read it, and it is fabulous. For those kids that love Jack, Rump, Red, Grump will be a great follow-up to that. Okay, quick story. I had a fifth grader come into the library last week and said, "Miss Stahl, where is the romance section?" And I looked at her and said, "It's a K-5 library." "My friend, we don't have a romance section." I said, "But I might have the book for you. The Third Mushroom is a follow-up to The 14th Goldfish. In The 14th Goldfish, Ellie's grandpa discovers a potion, something, can't think of the word right now, to make him young. So he is grandpa trapped in a 14-year-old body. In The Third Mushroom, grandpa is back. And in this book, because what you all need to know is that Grandpa has two PhDs, so he's super smart, but again, he's Grandpa trapped in a 14-year-old body. And in this book, Ellie wants to enter the school science fair, and her grandpa has two PhDs in science. And so she thinks he is going to be the perfect man for this job. They find a mutilated axolotl. Is that right? Yes. Just kidding, to be proud of us right now. Axolotl. It's a weird creature that lives under the sea. And so they start experimenting with fruit flies and this deformed, this mutated axolotl to see if the genes from the axolotl will change the fruit flies. So there's great science in here. Now here's the deal where my romance girl comes into play. It's mentioned three times that Ellie's grandmother loved Harlequin romance novels. It's not a huge plot line, but I think it's just enough for my fifth grader who is looking for the romance section in your library. The beautiful thing is by the end of the book, Ellie makes a decision that we shouldn't have romance novels, we should have friendmance novels, and we should have friend fiction. So I love that it takes it away from the romance, and I also love that Ellie's grandpa has read all the Harlequin romance novels as well. So just a great, great follow-up to The 14th Goldfish. Another book that, in a series that just came out, is Road Trip with Max and His Mom. The first one was Road Trip with Max, or Weekends with Max and His Dad. Mom and Dad are divorced. It was kind of a messy divorce. And the first book, we learn what weekends are like with Dad. In this book, we get to take a road trip with Mom. And it ends up that he has to miss a weekend with Dad, because on this road trip, they are going to his great-great-aunt's 100th birthday party. So again, if you have kids dealing with messy divorces or just torn between two loving parents, it's a great book to give to those kids or just any child who is wanting to understand the world a little better. Road Trip with Max and His Mom, beautiful follow-up to the first one. All right, another quick story here. We have a fifth grader's name is Cole. I'm going to use his real name because I told him I was going to tell this story. He thought it was pretty cool. I told you about bad guys last year, and I wanted to make sure you heard about them again this year. Now, is there bathroom humor in this? Yes. Is this great writing? No. Are these the greatest books? Will they change your life? No. But I have a fifth grader. His name is Cole. He probably has not finished a book since second grade. And he came to me this year, and he was still looking, and I said, "You know what, Cole? Have you tried Bad Guys?" And I gave him the first Bad Guys book. He came back into the library about 2 hours later, laid that first book on my desk, and said, "I'm ready for the second one." And I thought, you know what? So there's a plant that has butts for arms. This kid is reading, and he is excited. He came back the next day for book 3. He came back the next day for book 4. And I started to get panicky when he came back for book 6, because book 7 wasn't out yet. And now he's through all 7, and we're back to the beginning. But you know what? He read 7 books already this year. So that is to be celebrated. I'm telling you, if you have some dormant readers, as Bad Guys is, or how fabulous it is, take your pick. Check out Bad Guys. All right, another one of my favorite graphic novels, new series, it's Catstronauts. I don't need to say much about this. You've got cats, you've got outer space, it's a graphic novel. Really, where can you go wrong? There are now 4 books out. They're super popular in our building. I've got one little 5th grader again who loves cats, and he just thinks these are the greatest things since sliced bread, and because they are amazing. Catstronauts. All right, last one in the set. Last year I told you about 2 truths and a lie, and it was all science-y things. This year they came out with 2 truths and a lie, histories and mysteries. So it's like the game. 2 things are true, 1 thing is a lie, and the students have to figure out what is true and what is false, all with historic things. So it's pretty zany and fun. This might be a good book to have around for those kids who are like between books. Just, you don't have to read the whole thing. You can pick and choose and go with it from there. Just a fun little history and mystery option for you. All right, here we go. Books that promote empathy. I'll give you a minute to read the joke. I can only blame my shelf. Thank you. Oh my goodness, Front Desk. This book. This is based on the author's life growing up. She and her parents immigrated to America with only $200 from China, and they ran several different hotels, I believe in the California area. So this book is based on her life, which gives it validity, which gives it truth. Mia and her parents have just started running a hotel for a man named Mr. Yao. Mr. Yao is a bad man. He charges her parents for anything that breaks in the hotel. He expects them to work all the time. He treats them as if they were almost his slaves, and they are just trying to make ends meet. Mia really wants to be a writer, but because her English isn't so great, her parents keep telling her, you should stick to math and science because you don't really need to write. It turns out her parents are not only doing their best to take care of this hotel, they're also hiding immigrants in their hotel. And this word has gotten around that that hotel is a safe place. If you don't have money, they'll give you an empty room, until Mr. Yao finds out. Now, in the midst of all of this, has found out that there is a hotel that is there. There's a contest to win a hotel. All you have to do is write an essay of why you would like to run this hotel and pay a $300 entry fee. Well, the big question is this contest real or is it a hoax? Mia, of course, enters the contest with the help of her friend, and she still thinks that someday she could actually win this hotel, but it actually does turn out to not be a real thing. And her parents do their best to survive in this world. They communicate quite a bit with their relatives back in China. There's great back matter in this book. This is just a book that will fit well with a lot of things happening in our country today. It's very accessible. It's very easy to read. I think it would be a great read-aloud. I think you could have some great conversations about it. I know we've had several kids in our school reading this book and have come and have just said, this book is amazing. Yeah, it is. I do have an advanced reader copy to give away. Trisha's in charge of the giveaways today.
Which level on this one?
I'd go 4th or 5th for sure.
Fourth,
yep.
Or fifth.
Who's a 4th or 5th grade teacher? Sweet. All right. Amal Unbound, another very timely book for today's culture. This is a book I could not put down. I think I was on a plane when I read this one, and I just read the entire plane ride. This is set in Pakistan. And Amal is a girl, and she dreams of being a teacher. That is her dream. However, because she is a girl, and she is the oldest girl in her family, she is expected to stay home. And when her mom has a new baby, Amal's dreams of being a teacher are pretty much dashed, because her job is now to stay home and take care of this new baby. One day, she is down in the village, and her village is run by the Khan family. They are wealthy, they're almost like landlords, and they rule the village. And she ends up insulting the son of Mr. Khan, and he's furious because she has insulted him in front of the whole village. And that night, the Khan family arrives at Amal's house and demands payment for their mistake. They, of course, have no money. And so what their deal is they send Amal almost to be an indentured servant to work off her debt for her mistake of insulting this family. Well, it turns out this Khan family will do anything in their power to keep control. And so we start to learn of what they do to their village to keep that power. If you have students, or if you've talked about Malala's story, this would be a great follow-up to that. And I think fifth graders, I think you could do this as a fifth grade read aloud. Again, you'd have great conversations about it. I think fourth graders could read it easily, because there's really not anything that would set them off or that would be too far out of the box, but it's just a great introduction to some things in our world. And the author's note at the back is also beautiful. So, I'm all unbound. Besides this one to give away too. All sorts of giveaways. Just keep your hand up the whole time. Maybe she'll pick you one of these times. Oh, hope in the holler. Hope in the holler. These are kind of heavy. I'm sorry I'm starting out a little heavy, but Hope in the Holler is set in the Appalachian Mountains. And Wavy and her mom, you know what? Let me just read you the start of the book, because I can't describe it any better than this. This is how it starts. An actual clown conducted my mama's funeral. He didn't wear clown clothes or grease paint, but I'd read his biography on the Andro Funeral Home website, which had included his hobby, along with the fact that he had been married for 13 years and had a son named Agnes. Mama had been especially tickled. They had to change their tagline to, "We put the fun in funerals." "Sounds like your funeral will be a real three-ring circus," I said. That's how it all starts. Wavy's mom does pass away in the beginning of the book, but Wavy's mom did all she could to get out of the holler. In fact, Wavy doesn't think that anyone is left to take care of her. Her mom has never really talked about her past. Wavy doesn't really know if there are other relatives, and it turns out that she does have a relative. She has her Aunt Samantha Rose, who shows up in her large car to take Wavy, to claim her, to raise her in what she claims is going to be a loving environment. Samantha Rose just wants whatever money Wavy's mom had left. Now here's the beautiful thing. When Wavy's mom died, she left a note for Wavy that had seven final instructions for Wavy. And one of those instructions was, "Be brave, Wavy B. You've got as much right to a good life as anybody, so find it." And Wavy struggles going back to where her mom grew up in the hollers. And we see just the poverty of that culture. We see the miserable life that a lot of these people have. But Wavy also makes beautiful friends. And they have a plan to get Wavy back out of the holler and away from Aunt Samantha Rose. This is a book that I would for sure read first, simply because it's amazing. And before you give it to kids, it might just be nice to know what they're reading. I think it could be a read aloud. I don't know. I feel like I've given you some heavy read-alouds already, but it's just a great book, The Appalachian Regions, Poverty in America, and just that hope of a better life. I also have this one to give away. Look at that. Ooh. All right. This book as well. Man, this is a great book. They're all great books. I say that about everyone. I'm sorry. Last year I told you about The the insignificant events in the life of a cactus by Dusty Bowling. This is her second book. We are back in Arizona. It has nothing to do with the other book. It's a standalone. This book is set in Nowhere, Arizona. Now, being the librarian that I am, I did some research. There is no such place as Nowhere, Arizona. I was a little disappointed, I'll be honest. Nowhere, Arizona is the poorest city in America, according to this book. And if you grow up in Nowhere, you can expect to stay in Nowhere, because that's there is no way out. You're wealthy if you have a double-wide trailer in Nowhere, Arizona. Gus knows that the only way out are good scores on his SAT. So Gus already is studying for his SATs because he wants to get out of Nowhere. But we meet him at the very beginning of the book, and his head is being shoved against a cactus by the town bully, whose name is Bo Taylor. And Bo Taylor is making Gus eat a cactus, which Gus knows will be very painful. So, in the middle of this bullying scene, we see Rossi show up, and she is a girl in the town who is known for her dirt bike racing. One thing that Nowhere has going for them is dirt bike racing. It's a thing in Nowhere, and Rossi is very good at it. And Bo knows that Bo cannot beat Rossi, because Rossi, the girl, can beat Bo, which is kind of awesome. Essentially, Rossi says that she will give Bo her dirt bike if Bo lets Gus go. And he does. Gus now feels awful because Rossi can't beat Bo in the upcoming big race. And so, you know, Gus goes to Bo's house and says, "What can I do to get Rossi's dirt bike back?" And Bo says to him, "Well, you can go up to the mine and find me some gold." Gus thinks, okay, he does. So he does. He goes to the abandoned mine and tries to find gold. Now, here's the cool thing about this book. Every chapter is an hour. So the whole book takes place over 24 hours. And we spend the whole night in this cave, in this abandoned mine, where Gus is desperately trying to search for gold. Now, it turns out that Bo has sent two of his friends to follow along. Rossi shows up, and essentially we're in this mine all night in the desert in Arizona, and they are hot, and they are dry, and they are thirsty. And there were several times I held my breath reading this book. I laughed out loud reading this book. You could for sure, I think, read this out loud. We've had several kids already read this one, too. Poverty, families, dreams, determination, hopes, all the things wrapped in 24 hours. It's amazing. Check it out. I'm not giving you this one, though. Sorry. Another one for empathy is Harbor Me by Jacqueline Woodson. She is amazing. I have a picture book. Trisha talked about one of her picture books. Again, very fitting for what is happening in our country right now. We have six kids in this book. Their names are Ashton, Tiago, Amari, Holly, Haley, and Esteban. They all have very different stories. And because of their very different stories, they are given an hour every Friday afternoon to sit in a room together and just talk. And at first, these six kids have no idea what they're going to talk about. And one day, Haley, who happens to be the narrator, brings along a recorder. I was going to call it a tape recorder. That would have aged me quickly. Brings along a recorder. And they start recording their stories. Now, the crazy thing is this. Let's see. We've got Haley's father is actually in jail. Amari is afraid of racial profiling. Ashton shares his feeling about being one of the only white kids in the building. Esteban's father is an illegal immigrant, and they don't know where he's been taken. And that's just a few of their stories that come together in this beautiful story of hope and friendship and understanding. There are beautiful sentences in this book. I mean, if you want some great mentor sentences, look through this book and you will find them, because Jacqueline Woodson is a genius when it comes to sentences. I don't think I would do it as a read-aloud. I think it moves a little bit too slow for a read-aloud. And I would probably go fifth grade and up for this one, just because I don't think fourth graders are going to connect with it. It's another book that you should read, just so that you know what your students are reading. Are there happy endings? What does family actually look like? What is love? real struggles of kids right here in America. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. The next one is The Train of Lost Things. Another heavy one, I'm sorry. We're getting some fun ones soon. Marty's father is dying of cancer, and he has given Marty a jean jacket on which they put a pin for every memory they have. But unfortunately, Marty has lost the jacket, and Dad is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And Dad says there's this train that when things are lost, that things that are really valuable to you are lost, they are collected on this train. And so Marty makes it his goal, to find this train. He does find the train, but the train is a mess. Whoever is supposed to be taking care of this train of lost things is not doing it. Throughout the book, we do meet some more characters. Dinah and Star are also missing things, looking for them on this train. I will tell you that there are talk of ghosts in the book, which I think is pretty realistic for some of our kids that don't understand death and loss. And I think for kids struggling with this kind of topic, ghosts will be something they might talk about. It's not a huge theme, but I did want to make you aware of that. It has a painful but beautiful ending, and I would say this should probably be for fourth grade and up. Again, if you've got a student struggling with a parent who is sick, this might be just a beautiful book to give them. It has great moments of just hope and family and what it means to be loved. All right, let's have a little fun. This is Charlie and Frog. I picked up this book because, I don't really know why, but I love a good mystery, and I love finding good mysteries for kids. This is a mystery. What really attracted me to the book were the end papers. I opened up the book and saw that we had the alphabet sign language on the end papers. It turns out that the author is actually an ASL interpreter. And so the main characters in this book are all deaf. And the city where this book is set is home to a deaf school, a school for the deaf. And so the whole town knows sign language. So when our main character, Charlie, shows up into town, now here's the deal with Charlie. His parents, I would say, shouldn't have really been parents, because all they're about are just their own adventures. And so they go off and they leave poor Charlie with Grandpa and Grandma, who all they like to do is sit and watch TV. And so Charlie is stuck here in this town while his parents are off saving some... Oh, this time they're off saving South African golden moles, giant golden moles. They save these random things. But Charlie meets Frog, whose real name is Francine, and Francine wants to be a detective. And one day when Charlie is in the library, a woman comes in, her name is Aggie, and she signs something desperately to Charlie, and that's the last thing we hear from her. She is gone. Where did Aggie go? And why is she not in town anymore? And who are these two mysterious men that seem to be lurking around? And we learn that one of the things that Aggie signed to Charlie was death. Did someone die? Did someone not die? What's going on? It's just a great story. I did not figure out the ending until pretty close to the end. And as Trisha would tell you, if I can't figure out the ending, we got a good mystery going on. So check it out. Good people do good things is the big tagline. Good people do good things. Oh, another heavy one. I'm sorry. The Care and Feeding of a Pet Black Hole by Michelle Cuevas. She gave us the gift of the imaginary Confessions of an Imaginary Friend a couple years ago. In this book, it's probably set in about the 1970s because Stella Rodriguez is struggling with the loss of her father. And she takes a recording of her father's voice to NASA and asks that they put her father's voice on Carl Sagan's golden record. Now, I had to look that up. Was that a thing, Carl Sagan's golden record? Yeah. Mr. Pott says yes, so we're going with that. She and her little brother Cosmo, so you can probably guess what her dad loved, because she's named Stella, her brother's name is Cosmo. And she ends up, when she leaves NASA, a black hole follows her home. Now the great thing is that black hole is a really convenient place to hide things you don't want anymore, or or to get rid of memories that you don't want around. The bad thing is that the black hole swallows up the good memories as well. And so one day when the black hole actually swallows up Cosmo, Stella realizes she needs to do something about it. And she actually goes into the black hole herself to rescue her little brother. Just a great idea of what do we do with grief, what do we do with loss. I think it's pretty real for kids to want to get rid of some of those memories. They don't really even talk about her dad until they start realizing these memories are a good thing, and that even though dad is gone, they're still in your hearts forever. Is there a ton of Christian perspective on loss in this one? No, but I think it'd be a great conversation starter for kids that are struggling. All right, a little comic relief for you. Graphic novel time. I don't have many graphic novels, but we'll do a couple. Peter and Ernesto, A Tale of Two Sloths. In this book, we meet two sloths, Peter and Ernesto. Peter likes to stay in his tree. Peter does not want to go anywhere. Ernesto, on the other hand, wants adventure. And so he leaves the tree for a world of adventure as a sloth. And the problem is that Ernesto doesn't come back soon enough, and Peter begins to worry. And so Peter follows Ernesto off on these adventures. And we meet some comical characters out on his adventures. And really, it's an easier graphic novel, so we can even go younger with this one. First grade, second grade, third grade. It's just very accessible, very fun, and who wouldn't want a graphic novel about two sloths? Seriously, it's beautiful. This book is actually set in the Ivory Coast, and the author was born in the Ivory Coast. There's a lot of truth in this book. I don't think I would give this to third graders because there are some harsh realities in this one. There's a lot of different topics. We're dealing with poverty. We're dealing with tapeworms. One actually comes out of the main character's nose at one point in time. So just be aware of that. It deals with lice and hunger and mice infestations. And I know you're thinking, in a graphic novel? Yes, and that's why I loved it. You're introducing kids to real-world issues like Carol talked about this morning, real-world issues in graphic novel form that's very accessible, that kids can start thinking about their bigger world, and that even though Akisi has these things, she is still a beautiful child, and she has a lot to offer our students. So be sure to check it out. Don't overlook it just because of some of those bigger world issues. I definitely think it is worth checking out. I love this book. This is New Shoes, another graphic novel. In this book, let me turn my page. Nope, don't turn my page. It's up there. Francis the Donkey is the village's best shoemaker. And he makes his shoes from the finest materials there are. He's coconut wood for the soles, wool from goats down the road for the insoles, and the uppers are made from tiger grass that he purchases from his neighbor, Nigel, the squirrel monkey. These things you never think you'd say out loud. One day, Nigel gets a special order for shoes, but he is out of tiger grass. And Nigel is nowhere to be found. So, Francis goes out to try to find Nigel. On the way, he finds Nigel, who has been stealing the tiger grass from a jaguar. And the jaguar has taken Nigel captive because he's stealing the tiger grass. And so Francis has to figure out how to make this work. He actually ends up taking like a planting of the tiger grass and grows his own. This would be a great book if you're teaching economics. Because you know what? With supply and demand, where do your supplies come from? And is it legal for how you get your supplies? And be sure to check out the back matter in this book too. It actually shows pictures of how the author was inspired to write the book. Real pictures from Latin America city. It's a great, fun graphic novel that, again, is educational. See, graphic novels can be educational. One more educational graphic novel. This is The Dragon Slayer. It has folk tales from Latin America. If you teach Spanish, or if you are in a Spanish-speaking school, or if you're just teaching folk tales, again, folk tales in graphic novel form. How cool is that? It's three folk tales written in Latin America. The first two feature strong, independent women, and the third features a very smart son-in-law. Now, as I was reading these, I was trying to connect them to some of our own folk tales from America or from Europe, and I think it would be kind of a cool discussion to have with your kids. Can they make some of those connections? Are there similar folk tales from around the world? So, check it out. This book is also available in Spanish. So, I don't know if BookBug has it in Spanish, but there you go. All right, here we go. You're a hazard, Harry. All right, ready or not, let's do this. Lions and Liars by Kate Beasley. It is written, she also gave us Gertie's Leap to Greatness a couple years ago. This is her second novel, and we are taken into the world of fifth grader Frederick Frederickson. I love it when authors give their names, their characters' names like that. Frederick Frederickson, he is at the bottom of the food chain. In fact, he equates his school to a food chain, and he would say that the lions are the bullies. That then you have your meerkats who are in the middle, and then you have your fleas on the butts of the meerkat. And he is a flea. And his life is not so good at all because he is picked on, he is beat up. But one day, in an unfortunate boating incident, he finds himself at Camp Omigoshi, which could be pronounced Omigashi, but Omigoshi works great. It's a camp for troublesome boys. And the most troublesome boy, whose name happens to be Dashiell Blackwood, or Dash for short, has not shown up. And our friend Frederick Frederickson is mistaken for Dash. And so he suddenly has a voice, and see, he suddenly has power, and people are afraid of him because Dash is notorious, and everyone knows about Dash, and so Frederick just takes on this role as Dash until Dash shows up. I would call this a little mix-up between Holes and maybe the Goonies would be a good combination of all this because he's got cabin mates with the name Nosebleed, Ant Bite, the Professor, and Specs. So you mix in all these people, you mix in Holes, Goonies, and you throw a Category 5 hurricane into the whole thing, and it's just genius. Here's the other great thing is there are all illustrations throughout it by Dan Santat, who is a Caldecott award-winning artist, and they are just fun illustrations. And when you have a cover like that with a kid with a bloody thing in his nose, really, you can't go wrong. Boys are going to connect to this book. Girls are going to connect to this book. This is absolutely a read-aloud possibility. And look at that back. I mean, really? Mistaken identity. It's all the things that make for a great children's book. Two dogs in a trench coat go to school. Third grade teachers, this one's for you. I think your third graders would connect well with this one. Julie Filatko wrote the picture book Snapsy the Alligator, did not ask to be in this book. And in this book, we have Waldo, the little dog, and Sassy, the big dog. They're both very good at their job. They're especially good at keeping intruders out of the house, keeping the squirrels at bay, and they're really concerned mostly about their boy, Stuart. And Stuart comes home from school smelling like anxiety and boredom, which it terrifies me to think of our dogs being able to smell what we smell like at the end of the day. So the dogs, Waldo and Sassy, decide to disguise themselves as a child and go to school. Because why would they? And the thing is, it works. Like, the school believes that these dogs are actually kids. And so we have all the typical things. Halfway through the day, the dogs see the squirrels out the window. Sassy, the big dog, just really wants to take a nap. But because Waldo has to sit on their shoulders, it's great. The cool thing about this book is that the voices when Waldo figures out how to talk human. And whenever he talks human, the font changes. And whenever he talks dog, the font changes. It's just a fun, comical little read that kids are going to think hilarious because, you know what? Dogs in trench coats? What gets better? And we have another one coming out January 28, 9. I can hardly wait for that one. Oop, wait, I'm giving this one away. I don't want to take this home. Where are my third grade teachers? Oh. Girls Who Code, I'll go real quick through this. This is a whole series of books. Girls Who Code is a great, great, great new series. Basically, it's Babysitter's Club for computer girls. I knew that would connect with some of you. The whole premise is there's five girls, very unlikely friendships. They're a very diverse group of girls, but they are all connected through love of science and love of coding and love of just creating. The great thing about this whole series is it comes out of a nonprofit organization that's actually called Girls Who Code, which is encouraging girls to get involved in science and get involved with computers. This would be a great way to connect with your Hour of Code if you do Hour of Code at your school. And I think, like the Babysitter's Club, maybe the girls could, who are they within the Girls Who Code series? So definitely check out Girls Who Code. And there are four books out so far. They also have many other follow-up, like, connecting books to it. Be sure to check it out. Breakout by Kate Messner. This story, if you're looking for primary sources, if you're teaching primary sources in social studies, this would be a perfect book for that. This book is all told through letters and texts and transcripts of conversations and pictures that are being contributed to the town's time capsule. This town is, I have no idea, oh, here it is, Wolf Creek, New York. And Wolf Creek, New York only really has one thing, a prison, a maximum security prison. And one day, unless you're from Wolf Creek, uh-oh.
From the pond, actually, prison.
Okay. I actually have on here that if you live near a jail or prison, this might freak some of your students out. That is so funny that you actually live in a town with a prison. Yeah, what are the odds of that? We'll throw it off, Thurman. Okay, sorry. Essentially, these kids are looking forward to their last day of school. Nora's father is a prison superintendent. Elodie's brother is an inmate. And Lizzie's grandmother works in the prison as well. And at the very end of school, two inmates break out of jail, and it shuts the whole town down. Kids can't go out, they can't have outdoor recess, they can't be out by themselves, they pretty much can't play outside because they don't know where these inmates have escaped to. And the town is basically in lockdown for a couple weeks. Kate was inspired to write this book from the breakouts that happened in New York in 2015 because she was actually living in New York, and her town kind of went into a lockdown during that point in time. It looks like a hefty book, but because of the format of it and how many pictures there are and texts, and I know in the back you probably can't see this, it reads super fast. Again, if you live in a town with a jail, tread lightly. If you don't, it'd be a great option, especially for teaching primary sources. What are the odds?
You're at about 15 minutes.
What?
I know.
What? Okay, here we go. This book. When I finished this book, I put it down and said, how in the world am I going to describe this book at CEA? Those were literally my first thoughts. Livy and Bob. Livy is a girl. Bob is a green monster, green child, green thing in a chicken suit. Livy's mom and her little sister go to Australia to visit her grandma. And in the closet, it's been 5 years since Livy was there, and in the closet is Bob. And Bob doesn't have any memory, and Livy doesn't remember Bob, and they have to try to figure out, who is this Bob, where did he come from, what is he? He's not a zombie. I was very happy about that. Every other chapter is told from Livy's view and Bob's view, so you get that back and forth kind of perspective. It turns out, I'll just tell you, Bob is a well dweller. Who would have ever predicted that one? Just an odd little beautiful book. Trust me on this one, it's weird, but it's cool. Saving Winslow by Sharon Creech. You can't go wrong with Sharon Creech. Quick read. Essentially, the Louis can't keep animals alive, and so his dad brings home a baby goat one day, and he's got to figure out a way to keep this baby goat alive. Baby goat? Donkey. Baby donkey. Thank you. They don't want to get too attached. They don't want to name him. They do end up naming him Winslow, and Louis saves Winslow. The neighbors start complaining about Winslow's noise, and eventually you've got to give Winslow away. Charlotte's Web, essentially, with a goat. Donkey. For all of your kids obsessed with unicorn books, these next couple will be great unicorn books. The Unicorn in the Barn. Essentially, they discover a unicorn in the woods. Their neighbors happen to be a veterinarian. Eric takes care of a unicorn. If you're looking for a great unicorn book, easily third, fourth, and fifth grade. It could be a unique read aloud, third grade and fourth grade teachers. I don't think fifth graders would enjoy it as a read aloud, but third and fourth, absolutely. On the unicorn thread, On the unicorn thread, there's a new series by Adam Gidwitz, who won the Caldecott Newbery Honor for The Inquisitor's Tale. Essentially, these two kids, their names are... Keep it down up there. Their names are Elliot and Eugenia. They become fast friends, and they are met up with this creepy professor named, named Professor Fauna. And they're going to be rescuing these secret, mythical, mysterious creatures. There are bad guys, there's adventure, there's misunderstanding, and it's just a great series for those unicorn readers. I'm gonna keep talking while Trisha gives that away. Stella Diaz! Oh, we're not even focused. Well, wait a minute, Stella. Stella's in third grade. She's incredibly shy because her English isn't great. Her native tongue is Spanish, and so she, her parents are divorced. Every time she tries to speak in English, she turns roja, which I understand and feel her pain immensely. But a beautiful story of finding your inner voice and having an inner voice, and just a celebration of language and... Holly's going to give that away. And definitely a book worth looking into. Time Twisters. I'm sure you're thinking, have you lost your mind, Mary Jo Stahl? You have Abraham Lincoln pro wrestler and Abigail Adams, Pirate of the Caribbean up there? Seriously? Okay, I'm telling you, these books are awesome. Steve Schenken wrote Bomb, and he has written beautiful historical fiction. And I'm telling you, as crazy as these looks, these will connect with your third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders. They are heavily illustrated. Abraham Lincoln was actually honored by the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. So, you know, it's not so out of control that he's a pro wrestler. Essentially, these characters in history are sick of being bored. And they're sick of kids saying that history is boring. And these characters in history are taking back their history and making it more exciting. Your kids will learn some fascinating history in this stuff. I'm happy they've changed the covers. In fact, they've actually redone the covers of the first two. Because these two covers down here just look a lot more not as odd as the other ones. Check them out. Granted, for any kids that love fairies, essentially we've all wished on a star. We've all blown out those candles in one breath. But what happens to your wish? It turns out there are fairies out there that are willing to grant your wishes. And Ophelia Delphinium Fidgets, it's her first day on the job, and she gets to go grant her very first wish. Bad things happen. She doesn't follow the rules. It gets a little ugly. I'd say fifth grade and up on this one, simply because I don't think fourth or third graders would stick with it. Smaller words, bigger book. But it's a beautiful book. Check it out. Smart Cookie by Ellie Schwartz. Frankie's mom died in a car accident when she was four. Her dad runs a bed and breakfast. And each room in the bed and breakfast is themed after a game. So there's the life room, there's the Scrabble room. And Frankie thinks it's time for her dad to start dating again. So she actually writes up a dating online profile for her dad and calls it Operation Mom. She is about to set her dad up. Unfortunately, what we don't know is that dad has actually been dating someone already for 6 months, and I didn't Kids won't see this coming. You can see it coming throughout the foreshadowing of the book. But just a fun story of what it's like to grow up with the loss of a mom. Woo! And fourth and up, I'd go on that one.
Put that in the romance section.
You could put that in the romance section. Yes, well done, Trish. Betty Before X, essentially, is the story of Malcolm X's wife growing up. It is a great, great book. There's awesome back matter. We learn about Betty being moved from the South to Detroit. We learn about Betty and her friend Susetta. We learn about the Housewife League. Just a great, great book. Back matter is awesome in this one. And there were a lot of these things. And this is actually written by their... It's in here somewhere. She's related to them.
Daughter.
It's her daughter. It's Malcolm X and Betty's daughter who wrote this book. Oh, Wonderland. Too many good books. Mavis and Rose, are two very unlikely friends. Every chapter is told from, it's not told from a different perspective, it's almost like the perspective shifts. The narrator doesn't change. It's almost like we just see the camera shift from Mavis back to Rose, back to Mavis, to back to Henry the dog. Essentially, Rose lives in Magnolia Estates. Mavis's mom comes to work for Rose, and they become friends. It's a beautiful book of friendship. It's a beautiful book of loss because the guy who runs the gate, his dog just died, and so they have their mission to get a new dog for him. It happens to be Henry. It's a great book. I would love to know why Mr. Duffy, the gatekeeper, does not get his own chapters, but he didn't. This next one, Endling the Last, is written by Catherine Applegate of the one and only Ivan. If you have kids who are all about animal fantasy, this is the book for them. Essentially, an Endling is the last in a series. It is the last of a species. Turns out the humans of the world are trying to get rid of all the species that are of higher intelligence. So the main character in the book is Bix, and he is a Dairn, which is a half dog-like creature with human qualities. I don't love animal fantasies and animal, almost science fiction, but this book was good. I could actually stick with this book and read it, and I think we're going to have kids that just love it. It is setting up a lot in this first book of future books to come. In fact, the next one is called The First. So the first book is called The Last. Second book is called The First. Go figure. But essentially, humans trying to rule the world. I would say it's a parallel world to ours. Another one of those along the same lines is The Lost Rainforest. Similar, you've got day-walking creatures, night-walking creatures, but there were several animals born during an eclipse that don't know where they fit. And this is another book that I think your animal lovers in the group are going to absolutely love and adore. Personally, if you can only have money for one of these, because they are pretty similar, I'd go with The Endling. But if you have some super, super animal fantasy fans, get them both. Just buy all the books. Buy all the books. Do I quickly give that one away? I'm now giving you instructions. Her story is just a great book to have around, filled with biographies of women who changed the world. So this would be a great book to have in your classroom, just for those in-between times. There are very well-known women included and not so well-known included. Every woman gets their own page. It's a beautiful book full of great information, maybe for introducing biographies. Chasing Holicity is by Ginger Z, the head meteorologist on ABC, and she grew up in Western Michigan. So the book is set in Western Michigan, and Holicity, her brother, is set to play football for MSU. For Michigan State University, for those of you not from Michigan. However, there's a tornado in the town, and the tornado destroys the town. Her brother is injured during the tornado. This book is setting up for a series. Let me just give you some major foreshadowing from this book. I'm pretty sure in the second book, her brother is going to be addicted to painkillers. I can pretty much tell you that another character is going to be accused of stealing and embezzlement in the next one. And there'll be a lot more tornado chasing. If you've got kids who love the weather, this might be a good option. It's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. So, otherwise we won't be talking about it, right? And it's ginger tea. Oh, sweet. Okay, I have another confession. I was not going to put this on my list because I hadn't read it, but I had a colleague come to me and say, this book is amazing, it needs to go on your list. I said, I'll start it, I won't get it done though. I'm 80 pages in, I'm loving this. Imagine Mary Poppins meets Oliver meets Annie. It's all those things, and I'm only 80 pages in, and it is phenomenal. Sweep, The Story of a Girl and Her Monster by Jonathan Auxier. I would say late fourth grade, for sure. Last one in the series, Winnie's Great War. This would be a great follow-up to Finding Winnie, because this is the true story of Winnie the Pooh, which would be easily followable for all sorts of grade levels. It's Lindsay Natick who wrote it. Her great-grandfather was Harry Colborne, who bought Winnie from a train station in Canada and brought the bear over to England. All right, real quick. Here we go. Meet Yasmin. Check it out. It'd be great for younger readers. Small chapters. Diversity going on in here. She is actually Pakistani. And check out the back matter. Awesome. Quick read for younger readers. You know what? Let's get these away at the end. We'll just go.
Deal.
Princess Pulverizer. She doesn't want to be a princess. She wants to be a knight. Dad won't let her be a knight because she's a girl. But in order for her to become a knight, she has to complete 7 or 8 acts of kindness. If I had to predict, I'm guessing there's going to be 7 or 8 books in the series, with each one completing another act of kindness. So, so fun. Owen and Eleanor Move In. This is written by Heather Bauman, who happens to be a Holland Christian grad. She lives in Minnesota. Very friendly for 2nd and 3rd grade, 4th grade. Great Christian perspective in here. You've got Star Wars. You've got goldfish dying. A great book. Bigfoot, Littlefoot. The Sasquatch wants to meet children. A child wants to meet a Sasquatch. They meet. Beautiful things happen. I'm sorry, I'm going really fast. I just want to get to a couple more yet. Power Forward. For your boys. Sorry to scare you. You good? Okay. For your boys that love basketball, Zaid Salim wants to play basketball. His parents wanted to play the violin. How do you balance those two out? And one day, Zaid skips violin practice to go practice basketball. Mom and Dad lay down the ultimate punishment of no more basketball. But how is he going to make the gold team if he can't practice? I'm loving the series. It's by Hannah Kahn. And just a fabulous series for some of your boys, especially 3rd, 4th grade boys, who might be a little reluctant to read a book. More basketball books. I didn't play basketball, by the way. And just thought I'd throw that out there. This book is written by a WNBA player, and I have to tell you, the whole book starts off how she talks about how she feels awkward being so tall, and doesn't love being tall, and I thought, sweet, she's not going to play basketball. She does play basketball. I was a little disappointed, let's be honest. But it's a great story. She is 6 feet tall in 7th grade. I did put this under the younger readers because it's an easier read, and the covers are pretty young. Some of our 3rd graders love reading books about older characters, and they're very appropriate. So this would be a great book for those kids that want an older character book, and yet it's at their level. All right, how much time do I have?
1 minute.
All right. Creativity Project by Colby Sharp and many, 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 many other famous authors and illustrators. Essentially, use this as a resource for you. It has prompts that were given to other authors, and then they sent each other back their different prompts, and it's just a cool book that you can use as a great resource. This would be just for you or your older kids. It's The Faithful Spy. It's the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Illustrated, beautifully written by John Hendricks. So check this out. It'd be, I'd say sixth and up. I wouldn't go fifth grade. I just want to make you aware of it. Can I fly through these picture books real quick?
Yes.
Not so different. Real answers about people with disabilities.
Really, really good.
Be kind. Trisha talked about this one. A great story on kindness. Love as well. Just a beautiful story. Very lyrical, very poetic. And just, what is love? What does it mean? How to Code a Sand Castle would be great for your Hour of Code. Goes great with the Girls Who Code. It actually is put out by Girls Who Code by Josh Funk. The Word Collector, if you are studying words and language and beauty of words, it's a wonderful book about a boy who collects cool words. Elfie, just read Elfie. Just read Elfie. Adrian Simcox, Not the Horse. I read this to my fifth graders the first week of school, and we had so many cool conversations about this book. It's amazing. We don't need our classmates. That's all I need to really say. It's BookBub doesn't have it because it's backstocked. Like, the publisher is out of their first printing already. So if you can get your hands on this book, buy it. It's awesome. Baby Monkey Private Eye. It's a heavily illustrated, it's Brian Selznick. Baby Monkey wants to be a detective, but he can't put on his pants. What more do we need to say? The Day You Begin, all about differences, fitting in, finding your voice, where do we fit? Dreamers, immigrants, the power of books in a new world. It's a beautiful book. There is a naked baby butt in it, drawn. Just be aware. I can only imagine if you're dealing with loss in your school of any kind, this is a great book to have as a resource. It's based on the book, based on the song, If I Can Only Imagine. Just an awesome resource. Great conversations about heaven. Americans, I wish I had more time to talk to you about this book because there is some controversy with this book. The controversy comes with the way Native Americans are included. They are included, but there are other places they should have been. This would be a really great book to discuss. Has this covered everything it means to be an American? Has it not covered it? What could be included? What could be done differently? What I love about this book is it does celebrate the hope and the unity that we can have in America, even when we disagree. Sir Simon, if you are... Yes, it's a ghost. I have to show you, though. Let's be honest. Front, back. I wouldn't really read this to younger kids, but for older kids, if you're comparing, if you're working through comparison and understanding others' lives, this is your book, and it's beautifully illustrated. Last one, I think. When Sparks Fly, it is the biography of Robert Goddard, who is the father of U.S. rocketry. And that, my friend,